Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been sharing the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm delighted you chose to join us today, and I pray that this program will truly be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Camp meeting experience holds a special place in my heart, for it was an old-fashioned camp meeting that I came to know the Lord. My dad was doing the preaching. It was Sharon Center Holiness Camp Meeting just outside of Wadsworth, Ohio in 1963. And what a joy it is to remember those times of camp meeting, and what a privilege it is for me to be invited to return to some of these locations where my dad has been, where he preached. As a matter of fact, I am involved in my first camp meeting of the summer in Repton, Alabama this weekend, June 11 through 21. And it was at that camp meeting when Dad finished the camp. He boarded a train and made his way back to Greensboro, North Carolina. And that train ride gave him the inspiration for the sermon that we played last month on the program, The Heavenly Porter. So I'm looking forward to going to Beulah Camp and being there with those wonderful people. And then we will go over to Frankfort Camp in the month of July. And that date is July 12 to 19. And as soon as I am done there, I'll travel to Waynesboro, Mississippi, to Frostbridge Holiness Camp Meeting, July 20 to 26. So I'm looking forward to these days of camp meeting. And if there's a camp meeting in your area, I hope that you will support the camp meeting and let it minister to you. It's a place of rest, a place of challenge, a place of inspiration. And I hope that you'll make your way to a camp meeting near where you might live. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the listening audience. Thank you for those who take part in this program every month by sending a gift so we can stay on the air. I thank you for our listening audience and those who pray for us. And I pray that you would be with the sick and the shut-in, those who have special spiritual needs today. I pray for pastors as they will preach the Word of God in the respective churches. I pray that you would continue to supply the need for the lights of spiritual guidance and for Loman Ministries during these summer months. So much going on, but the most important thing that we have going on is spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. So help us to do that effectively. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget to write to me. I need your help. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give through Venmo or PayPal. May God bless you.
Presence of Jesus, hearing Him call me His own, just feeling at home, feeling at home. Putting my feet right under His table, knowing I won't be alone, just feeling at home, feeling at home. The sun is the light, the place I've been dreaming of so long. Loved ones there to welcome me, but His sweet face will be the first I'll see. When my journey's over, I am going home.
Home is where the heart is. My heart's on home, though I never really had one to call my own. But I've been given a key by the carpenter of Galilee. With interest paid, the title's made to me.
The sun is the light, the place I've been dreaming of so long. Loved ones there to welcome me, but His sweet face will be the first I'll see. When my journey's over, I am going home.
Everybody dreams going home, it seems, and lately I'm no exception to the rule. But home is so much more than windows, walls, and doors. It's a warm embrace, a smiling face is waiting you.
The sun is a light, the place I've been dreaming of so long. Loved ones there to welcome me, but His sweet face will be the first I'll see. When my journey's over, I am going. Where there is no night, home, where the sun is a light. night the place I've been dreaming of so long. Loved ones there to welcome me, but his sweet face will be the first I'll see when my journey's over. I am going home. When my journey's over, I am going home.
I wish that was the end of the story of Jephthah and the Ephraimites and the Gileadites, but it gets worse. Because as you go and study this, and you go further, you recognize that the Gileadites, now that they have defeated the Ephraimites, other Israelites, we don't know how many died in the initial conflict. They've defeated them, and then they capture, the Gileadites, capture the fords of the Jordan River. And in order to get home, the Ephraimites have to cross the Jordan. And you know what a ford is? It's a shallow place. And that's where they could walk across. And here is this Gileadite guard, soldier guard, standing there at the ford of the Jordan. And here comes an Ephraimite soldier survivor of the initial conflict. And he walks up and he wants to cross over. Now remember, these are Israelites. They have no distinguishing characteristics that would make them look different from one another. They're all Israelites. And so this Ephraimite soldier survivor walks up to the Gileadite soldier guard and says, "Let me cross over." And so the Gileadite soldier guard looks at the Ephraimite soldier survivor and he says, "Are you an Ephraimite?" If I'd have been in that moment and I was the Ephraimite and we had just been soundly defeated by the Gileadites, I know it's wrong to lie. But I think if I'd have been in that Ephraimite's situation, I'd have looked at the Gileadite soldier and I'd say, "Do I look like an Ephraimite to you?" And the Bible tells us that when the question was asked, if the Ephraimite said, "No," then the Gileadite soldier guard would say, "Prove it." You see, the Gileadites knew something about the Ephraimites that apparently the Ephraimites didn't realize. And the Bible doesn't tell us the history on this, but the Ephraimites, for whatever reason, they could not say the SH sound. They couldn't say shh. And the Gileadite knew it. He said, "All right, if you're not an Ephraimite, say Shibboleth." And when the Ephraimite tried to say Shibboleth, it came out Sibboleth. And he incriminated himself, identified himself as an Ephraimite. 42,000 Ephraimites died on the banks of the Jordan River. I don't know if that's the total number from the initial conflict and then all those who died as they were trying to cross the Jordan River. I don't know that answer. But it does say 42,000 Ephraimites died. Over what? Such a little thing. Such a little thing. That word Shibboleth fascinates me. And I did the research on the word. It has many definitions. But the definition that fits the context of this sermon is this. A shibboleth is a provocative rule of measurement that we create for one another. Shibboleth. Oh, and there's shibboleths around the church. We've created shibboleths around the church. And I'm not going to stand up here and enumerate all of them. I grew up in a very conservative holiness environment. And for many years, the shibboleths that we used to measure people was how they dressed. Whether or not the ladies wore makeup or earrings. As we used to call them in North Carolina, ear bobs. How flashy you dressed. The length of your hair. Those were the shibboleths. When I came along in the Church of the Nazarene, we had a shibboleth that would not allow me to get ordained if I wore a wedding band. Shibboleths. In more recent years, I'm going to get on thin ice tonight. In more recent years, one of the shibboleths that's been of main contention has been music. How we do our music around the church. Whether it's going to be out of a hymn book or projected on a screen. My Uncle Bill and Aunt Rachel Rice, they lived in Greensboro, North Carolina, and they attended the Wesleyan Church there in Greensboro. And he came home one day from church, and he announced to me when we were together not long after that, he said, "Well, we're singing that off-the-wall music now." And his wife, my Aunt Rachel, she said, "We paid a lot of money for these hymn books. Why aren't we using them?" And just was so upset about all that. I was in Michigan in a revival meeting, and they had an incredible praise team and small orchestra. I mean, they were great. And they would prepare the people for the Word of God. It was amazing. And I remember one night after the service, I was standing out in the foyer waiting on the pastor. We were going to go get something to eat. And I noticed a lady standing over to one side there, and she was eyeballing me. She was looking at me. And I kept looking at her, and she kept looking at me. And then all of a sudden, she started walking toward me. She had something on her mind. You can always tell, because if they just want to talk to you, they'll just walk up to you. "How are you, Brother Lane? It's good to see you." Not her. When they really have something they want to say to you, they come towards you sideways. And she came over to me. She came over to me and she said, "Well, what do you think about the music around here?" And the Holy Spirit whispered in my ear and said, "Look out." And I just simply said, "Well, I like music. It's a part of what I do in ministry." And I said, "I have my own preference when it comes to music." I said, "But really, all that really matters, whether they lead out of a hymn book or sing from the screen or use instruments or just the piano and the organ, doesn't really matter to me as long as it takes me into the presence of Jesus." I met Trina Juneman's mom tonight. John Juneman is one of my best friends. I was working a camp meeting with John just a few years ago. And it was his night to preach. And I'm sitting down here in about the second row in that tabernacle up in Ohio. And he tells this amazing story about a Nazarene church in Arkansas. And he said, they got a new pastor. It was an old church, been around for a long, long time. And he said that the church was in Batesville, Arkansas. And he said they called in this brand new young pastor. And this church, across the years, had been a strong church and a traditional church. He said they sang with one song leader out of the hymn book with an organ and a piano. And he said that young man came in there and he began to connect with the people. He began to connect with the community. It wasn't long until he was getting new people into the church, young adult people. And after a certain period of time, I don't remember if John told me how long or told us how long, he said after a while, some of those new young adults came up to the pastor and said, "Pastor, we love this church. We appreciate you and your ministry. But we were wondering, we sing the hymns and they're good. We like the hymns, but could we add some contemporary choruses to that?" And the pastor, wise beyond his years, he said, "Well, let's pray about that. Let's pray about that." And so they started praying about it. And several months passed, and he said those young people came back a second time. Well, Pastor, have you been praying about that? We've been praying about it. We think it'd be a good thing. We've got so many young people who like that kind of music. Couldn't we do that? He said, well, let me take it to the board, and I'll have them pray about it. And he did, took it to the board. He said, I want you to pray about these young adults. They've been coming. They're an integral part of our church now, and they'd like to add some contemporary music into our Sunday morning service, kind of have a blended type music program. I want you to pray about that. And they did. And then they voted. And to a person, they voted unanimously that they were going to start having a blended service with hymns and choruses. And they were just going to have one keyboard and maybe have two or three singers along with the praise leader. That's what they voted to do. And one of the board members said to the pastor, now, Pastor, you know, you're going to have to go talk to our organ. She's been on that organ for years. This was not her name, but let's call her Ethel. He said, I went to her house. And I walked in and we just had some small talk. So then after a while, I looked at her and said, now, Sister Ethel, God's helping our church. Oh, yes, he is, Pastor. And Sister Ethel, you know we've got all these young adult people coming in now. We're growing. And they've asked us if we could incorporate some contemporary music into our hymns that we sing on Sunday morning. Oh, that would be a good thing. But then he said, but Ethel, in doing this, we're going to eliminate one keyboard. We're not going to use the organ anymore. And John Juneman, in telling that story, said that pastor sat there and told her that, and then she leaned forward and looked over her eyeglasses and said this, Pastor, do you think I could learn to play the bass guitar? I about fell off my pew when he said that thing. And he said, at Baseville, Arkansas Church of the Nazarene, there's a senior citizen picking bass on Sunday morning. That's sanctification. That's what it looks like, and that's how it acts. And there are three freedom principles that I think operate in the life of the sanctified that I want to share with you as we finish the message. Here's the first one. You don't have to express your opinion about everything. You can have an opinion, but you just don't have to express it every time. I mean, think about it. If you expressed your opinion about everything, you'd have to know so much. I mean, you wouldn't want to just know part of the story. You'd want to have all the details before you expressed your opinion. Because if you expressed your opinion about something and you didn't have all of the details, you'd end up looking foolish.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I pray that the program has truly been a blessing to you. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. In the state of Kentucky, the Churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point. Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs. Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. And in the state of Indiana, Bethel Wesleyan Church in Columbus. Columbus Free Methodist Church in Columbus, Indiana. The Church of the Nazarene in Orleans, Indiana, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church, again in Columbus, Indiana. I hope you'll take just a few minutes to write us that letter of support. We do need to hear from you, or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and click on the Venmo or the PayPal tab there. Our mailing address is the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Until this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.